Coming up on Roundabout, a woman in Miami beats another driver to an available gas pump with disastrous consequences. A Chinese daredevil nails a stunt worthy of an aerial aerobatic team, and we take a very special look at some classic car videos in our Roundabout Rearview segment. Stay tuned for all this hilarity and a whole lot more. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase, and by everyone's favorite online store, Amazon.com.
Coming at you from sunny Seattle, Washington, I'm Joel Ratz of Test Drive Hope, testdrivejunkie.com.
From the Wheelspin Studios in Annapolis, Maryland, I'm Christian Conover.
Keeping things in line and on time, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Truman, Colonel Capote.
And this is Roundabout.
Unfortunately.
Welcome to Roundabout episode 122, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
2550 going for 5550 go, sold to the man in the car. Ben Sanders selling off the show. We did last week because we weren't on, but we are back. Episode 122.
We're back, baby.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
We've decided we're a morning zoo this week.
Are we?
For our fans.
Somebody get a cowbell.
AM 2.
We're going to make
in the Philippines. It's currently 6:52 in the a.m. over in the Philippines. Whoa.
That's across the Pacific Ocean, Ben.
That's right.
Pacific Ocean.
It's a very specific ocean.
Yeah, so we...
Oh! Looks like we've got Christian.
You know what that means. We've got Christian Conover.
A baby.
Christian Conover.
Conover.
Our That's Flying Dutchman.
Okay. I can never keep up with what parts of my name we're going to emphasize and what parts we're going to just totally destroy.
Well, we like to keep you on your toes.
Well, we certainly do.
At a time, so I can at least be on the same wavelength on that.
But we're glad you could join us again, Christian, from the studios. You guys have upgraded.
We've always had studios. That's always how we've
introduced
ourselves. Studios
plural?
That's how we've always said it.
Really?
Go back and look through the notes. It's
I
always
choose
been
not to.
Okay. Or you can just okay. Word. Either one.
Well, you've got
I'd
some...
I'd recommend looking through notes, though.
Oh, go ahead. What was that?
I was saying you could take me in my word, but I'd recommend looking through notes.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree. But you've got some exciting or, well, not really exciting, some news to announce about the Roundel Table show that you are responsible for.
Yes, there's news.
Yes. What's going on with the show? What happened?
Well, for people who subscribe to the show, all four of you...
So we have a lot of overlap with the Roundabout audience.
We are on a hiatus at the moment. We've taken a season break, if you will, to restructure the show and change some things and make the formatting a little bit more exciting and keep things fresh. So we're off the air for the time being, but we will be coming back soon at an as yet undetermined time, but that will be announced soon.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that.
You're pulling a Mad Men is what you're saying, taking a season off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what sort of structural changes are you making? Just getting it punchier or what? You have some new segments planned?
Part of the reason we decided to do this is because in the past couple of months, things kind of settled to a point where we basically just recapped news that had already happened and do a whole lot of extra stuff. And Josh and I both felt that the show needed something more. We needed to have different segments and some guests and some other special features, and we just hadn't gotten to that point. And
yeah.
So we decided the best way to approach that was to take a break and kind of
regroup,
fresh slate, and just make it a lot more exciting and do some things ahead of time that we would have ready to go and make it just a generally more well-produced and exciting program. Ooh. Program, I'm sorry.
Program, that's right. It's for program.
Duh.
Well, we look forward to the relaunch and keep us in the loop when the Roundel Table comes back.
I will indeed.
Very well. And of course, we have a Roundabout first timer joining us tonight.
Hey yo,
Joel Ratz.
Hello, everybody.
Of Test Drive Vagrant.
You got that wrong again.
Oh, did I?
It's Test Drive Addict.
Oh, course. How could I get it wrong?
Not attic.
Oh.
Addict.
Okay.
Well, actually, not that either.
Anyway, it's formerly Baja Busta.
And the website is truly
testdrivejunkie.com.
Okay.
Exactly.
Where you have amassed a huge, massive, engorged collection of all kinds of automobilia, if you will.
Indeed.
Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Gasp.
Joel, you were famous across the YouTubes for all of this quality content you had that you people couldn't get anywhere else.
Famous, I tell you.
No, nowhere else. I'm internet famous, kind of, sort of.
You're an internet celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
Interlebrity. Well, I'm coining it right now.
Okay. So, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
You heard it here first. Yes, exactly. Internet celebrity. So, Joel, where did you get this collection of stuff? You can't just go down to the Salvation Army and buy a box of Cadillac laser discs.
Because we're talking about, when we say stuff, we're talking about...
Holy Mackie, I mean...
Holy Mackie, say.
Yeah.
Like old, I don't know, what are we, like training videos and stuff like that.
So, yeah, they're all kind of up there, kind of, you just kind of acquire them through those... what you call internet auctions. Yes.
Gotcha. And they used to master these things to Laserdisc?
Oh, yes. Lots of Laserdiscs here.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
It's about the only thing that ever got mastered on Laserdisc.
The quality is quite poor, actually, once you convert them, but it is quite humorous to watch. But my, you know, my main stuff that I have is the old Motor Week tests, and I've been recording those since I was a kid.
Wow.
And just... kept recording them, even though my parents hated the collection sitting in the cupboard or the cabinet or whatever it was.
Get I think PBS hates the collection sitting on the cabinet, too.
Yeah, perhaps.
You recorded those on wax cylinder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, just VHS.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Yeah. We're going to get to a few of those classics. After the break today.
Are we going to do a roundabout rear view, Craig?
We may just take a misty-eyed look at things from the past. And Christian, it's one of your favorite segments, I know. So we saved this for when you were on again.
Craig, I just love the theme song so much.
Craig, you know, when I go a-motoring in my old jalopy.
Yes?
You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
It's not time yet.
So emotional.
Okay.
Hold your horses.
Well, in the meantime, maybe we should get to a little bit of news. And Joel, if you're ready, why don't you start things off?
Okay, well, having recently purchased a, albeit hand-powered slot car truck for my four-year-old nephew, which includes loop-de-loops, try as we both might, we are simply not able to make those cars go do the trick. Luckily for Li Yateo of China, he did not have such challenges, and he set a new Guinness World Record circling the largest loop-de-loop in a Youngman Lotus L5 around a circle of over 42 feet in diameter. Safety precautions were, of course, taken.
Whoa, in China?
Absolutely, including...
Roundabout has a long track record of breaking open these stories of improper safety in China.
I know.
We do. Sorry, but Joel.
No, that's fine. You know, they put a roll bar in it, a roll cage, rather, and they even removed the bumpers, which probably wouldn't have done any good anyway, because it's Chinese bumpers. But
they're made of lead.
Yeah, well, they removed the bumper so that it could make the approach and departure angle, if you will.
Yeah.
And yeah. So are loop-de-loops awesome? I think so. Validated by the fact that every time I go to assemble said track with my nephew, he insists on building it with the vertical circles, knowing all well we will never get it to work.
But sometimes it's trying that matters, right?
Yeah.
It's the thought that counts, Joel. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Craig was never going to get an engineering degree, but he tried anyway. And failed. So very interesting.
Did they actually do this in the bird's nest?
The bird's nest.
Is that what they call it in China, where they had the Olympics?
Oh. Olympic, 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 Olympic.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that.
No.
Does the Lotus L5 look like a Buick Regal to anybody else?
Eh.
It looked like a Buick Regal to me.
Oh, it does.
Oh, the Regal. Yes. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Well, you know, Buicks are nice cars, but Cadillacs fall a little higher in GM scale. Christian.
Yes, they do. And I'll tell you what. Apparently Cadillac has been thinking the future of motoring is a cross between cars from iRobot and a Honda solar panel car. Do you remember that thing? The crazy long thing with all the solar panels out back. Well, apparently in 2009, the automaker, Cadillac, showed off their futuristic concept that's powered by, wait for it, laser-heated steam.
It's super cool. I'm actually super hot.
The vehicle uses a laser to heat a block of thorium, whatever that is, which flash heats water into steam. It's kind of like driving the smallest, craziest, cool-looking aircraft carrier on Earth, and I want one.
It is. We did a story on thorium when we had one of the Halls on the program. Maybe both of them. I remember because they got into a big debate over the safety issues involved.
Because it is radioactive, I'm afraid.
So basically, something. If I remember,
it is one of the coolest looking concepts in a long time.
It is freaking sweet.
It is.
Although
cool.
It does kind of look like there's a sailboat hull under the
you don't
there.
Well, they had to break the
keel. I remember seeing that.
Yep.
Now does anyone on the panel know what auto show this was shown at?
Yes, the Chicago one.
Get out.
I will not, sir.
That's my house.
2009?
Indeed, that was the year.
That's time ago. So this isn't some spring chicken.
No, it's a little old, but still worth sharing.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how I really do not remember seeing this, and I don't know how we missed it. 2009 is really not that long ago.
I don't either. I drive
ago.
A Cadillac.
I mean, come on, a nuclear-powered Cadillac.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I thought that was reserved for strictly aircraft carriers.
Not bad.
Well, I do it. Apparently, it's also reserved for Cadillac.
Well, Cadillacs are luxury items, and we know how the Amish feel and Mennonites feel about that, don't we, Ben? You grew up in one of their compounds.
Did I?
I think so.
Sure, why not?
You broke out with,
and
what was that guy in Utah?
Keep going, Craig.
His name, the polygamists?
Who lives in Utah?
Warren Jeffs.
Oh, the FLDS guy.
Yes. You were part of that group, weren't you?
Sure.
Anyway.
What? I was, Josh. It's true.
Well, some Amish folks are up in arms, if they're allowed to gesticulate like that, of course, over a law that requires them to have those orange safety triangles on the backs of their carriages. 9 men were ticketed for driving, or is it riding? Well, whatever. We'll just call it buggying. They've been ticketed for buggying without these reflective placards. Now, the Detroit Free Press reports they're taking their case all the way to the Kentucky Supreme Court, and they've even appealed to the ACLU for this issue, on the grounds, of course, that it is a freedom of religion issue.
Issue.
So, what's the big deal? Well, first of all, they object to the color, all right, claiming it's just too bright. But they also, and here's the kicker, they also have a beef with the shape. Yes, the shape. Triangles are apparently verboten for the Amish folk. They seem to think the three-sided reflectors represent the Holy Trinity. And here, for nearly 28 years, I've thought the cross was a symbol of Christianity. Unbelievable. You know, these...
How could you be so mistaken, Craig?
I don't know, Christian. I don't know.
Everyone the world over knows that the cross is... not at all Christianity. It's definitely a triangle.
It's an orange reflective triangle.
Right.
Exactly.
With the tips cut off.
Yes. So it's more of a hexagon, technically. It's got 6 sides, right?
It's hedonistic.
Call
it's
it
all
a
I
rhombus.
Can say.
But anyway.
So.
Go on.
The issue, seriously, they... Why don't they just... Here's what they should do. They should take the little flashing F1 taillight and just put it on the back of them. That would be much less bright and
there wouldn't
gaudy.
Be an issue there.
No, not at all.
And that's a square, so... No, doesn't represent the Holy Trinity.
It's too close to the cross.
I suppose.
It should be an oval or a rhombus.
4 points on it, you know.
Yes. So, yeah, this is ridiculous. A buggy that goes, like, 12 miles an hour and drives on the roads that cars can use... And there were, you know, it's a huge safety concern. Do they have these folks out in Seattle, Joel? And do they have your dander up?
Amish people?
Yes, near Redmond or something.
Yeah, I've never seen one. Them, it.
Them, it.
I wonder if in Amish country, do they give the police, like, boogies to be able to pull these people over? Because otherwise, I mean,
not
be a problem. Like, the crews are slow enough to pull them over.
Well, they have constables, don't they? I don't know.
Oh, is that what it is?
I have no idea. But I think it's... this is a safety issue. If they're riding a black carriage at night, something reflective on the back might help, wouldn't it?
It's all right. God will protect them.
He always does. Speaking of questionable taste and styling, Joel, Nissan GTR looks like it has been butchered.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously seeing a Nissan GTR in the wild typically can be a sweet event. On the other hand, spotting one dressed up like a hypercolor sweatshirt from the 80s can make you quite sad.
quite sad.
Quite sad. Also, imitating a 1996 Volkswagen Harlequin Golf Edition,
yes.
A Chinese driver not only spent a fortune on the car itself, which is roughly $245,000, but also spent a not-so-pretty penny or a yuan to have it wrapped in matte pastel green, blue, and pink hues.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Joel, I believe that's lavender.
Oh. Well, perhaps I'm colorblind.
Well, join the party.
Don't look at me.
Considering the popularity of many things 80s and their resurgence, perhaps the owner knows something that we do not. If this is the way things are going, I'm sure this will make you blue.
Somebody needs to find a way to put hammer pants on a GTR.
Too legit to quit, son.
Yeah, this is horrendous. All that money and they can't buy taste. Green,
can't
blue, and pink.
Taste.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Christian is just depressed about this.
It's just sad.
Well, yeah. I know the GTR is stylistically designed to do what it's supposed to. I just don't find it attractive anyway. So I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. But
I don't know. I mean, it's not the most attractive car, but it's not ugly.
No.
It's kind of ugly.
Big to differ.
What it does is pretty impressive, but it ain't pretty, I don't think, myself.
It's not pretty. It's not like you don't look at it
it's
like, you
purpose,
know. Like,
it's purpose-built, you know.
Right. Like, you look at a Ferrari 458 and you think, that's a car with some style.
Mm.
But this is not a car that's very stylish. It looks good, and it looks like exactly what it's supposed to do, but it's not stylish.
Some might call it unique.
Mm. But nothing on Earth could look good with the colors on this thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the Harlequin Golf? Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Multicolored awfulness.
Yeah.
I mean, a DB9 would not look good with this color scheme.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, it might look good under certain circumstances, Christian.
No.
Soldiers?
Inhaling?
Well, I don't know. I don't even think this would help. Apparently, meanwhile, in Stonersville, a woman in Denver is claiming that she needs to smoke marijuana before driving. Her stipulation is that she needs to hit the bong to calm her tremors before getting behind the wheel and avoid twitching her car off the road or into another car. She says she doesn't smoke while driving, just before driving.
Oh, okay.
Mm. In other news, this woman is still a better driver than most sober drivers in America.
I wouldn't doubt it. Should she be driving anyway if she needs to calm her tremors or whatever she has?
Well, that, come on now, Craig. The logic is, you know, that's not things that, it's not involved in the DMV's thought process. Logic is not part of it.
Like I always say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and she's going for the problem, not the source, you know?
I think she's got the pound already taken care of.
Well, ounces anyway.
16 ounces, yes.
Well,
does she puff, then pass?
Oh, you win.
Boops.
That might be a good episode title, Ben. You might want to jot that down.
Oh. I think you're right, Craig. I mean, how does she still have a driver's license if she's prone to tremors? That seems...
Unless it's withdrawal. She needs to calm her nerves before she gets in the car. But
tremors is
a great
answer
movie.
Is not more drugs. I think the answer is rehab.
Rehab's not really a solution to anything because it doesn't work.
Oh, I see. Based on your experience in rehab?
Yes. No, based on celebrities.
No. Celebrity rehab.
I've seen all of them.
Or internet celebrities, even?
Internet celebrities. Like yeah. Like, Joel, when you were in rehab last, did it work before you went back again?
Before I went back again, obviously no. So.
Oh, we're all sad for Joel now. Thanks, Craig.
Is he going?
It's the Seattle Gray. It does it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know what apparently would work well for that is getting a GTR that's brightly colored to break the gray.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps.
Are we doing this story again?
Yeah, we're circling back.
Oh, cool.
Doing a whip around.
Grabbing a handle because we're about to make a hard U-turn here and just throw everyone around.
We're throwing the tiller to starboard and we're going in. Anyway, the hectic pace. Ben, that's enough. The hectic pace of modern life takes its toll. Traffic, kids, appointments, they all ratchet up the stress, which can push some people right over the edge. Like a hover around at the Grand Canyon, for instance. And one impatient motorist caused quite a ruckus at a Miami gas station earlier in the week. In an effort to beat another driver to an open pump, Gilda Ramos plowed her Jeep Compass right into the fuel dispensary. It's like something out of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. The pump instantly burst into flames and bystanders fled like they were dressed in flank steak and being chased by a grizzly. Best of all, the camera, a hidden surveillance camera, captured the whole scene for us to enjoy.
I'm sorry, you lost me when you said Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I was imagining Shake just blowing up pumps while Meatloaf was running away.
That's Meatwad, actually.
Whatever. Well, he's a Meatloaf after he gets done with the... with the fires.
Yes.
I would do anything for
love. But I won't be on Roab. Wow, she knocks that thing right over.
She knocks this bleep out of that.
Oh, my goodness.
She's not there to make friends.
Me.
So
wait, I can't see the video on the audio show. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Well, she just plows right into that sucker like it's going out of style.
We'll reenact it in audio.
Well, here I go. Just driving down the road.
Trying to get some gas.
Hey, I can't see that.
I'll call you back.
Doon, your oxen have died. So, anyway, yeah.
That gas pump got knocked up over.
Basically, she did an interview with the local TV news station after the incident, and she claims... There was a yellow Hummer H2 that was waiting patiently in line to go to that pump once it was free, and she claims she didn't see a bright yellow Hummer H2. And as she went to pull into to get to the pump, the guy in the truck honked at her, which caused a drastic pedal misapplication, hence her plowing into the fillery. Plowed right into that fillery, Ben.
Are you sure she wasn't from Denver, Craig?
I don't know.
Maybe she had tremors.
Did she have tremors?
Maybe.
Por qué?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so she knocked the shit out of that pump, Ben.
She certainly did, Marka Ben.
She doesn't look like she was going fast enough to cause that much damage.
It's a compass. It's a Jeep. It's trail rated, Christian. Are you forgetting?
Yeah, but I don't know. She seemed like she was just like coasting into it.
I don't know. It happened.
It's a
CVT, continuously vexing. So that is the fiery conclusion of the news portion of this week's show. We do hope y'all enjoyed it.
I get it, because there was fire.
Christian, you are so fast.
I'm on the ball.
Do you eat soup with a fork?
It's more better that way.
Yes, it is. It aerates it. So coming up after the break, we got to thank our good friends at Amazon, but we will have a blind spot story of the week, plus a tip of the week, and a special video vignette I promised you at the beginning of the show. So stick around for that with more Christian Conover from the Wheelspin Network and Joel Ratz of Test Drive Junkie. See, I got it right that time, Joel.
Oh, rats. Sorry, just had to do it once, and I'm done.
Anyway, we got to thank our friends at Advance Auto Parts. For saving us a whole lot of money.
These guys are ready in advance.
Got an air guitar. Anyway, go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. There is a very exclusive, special, unique offer. It's only available to Roundabout listeners, okay?
Whoa.
If you go there now, you'll see on the right-hand sidebar of the page, little ad for Advance. You click on that link, it takes you to their online storefront. You do your shopping as you normally would, and when you go to check out, this is important, when you go to check out, you enter the promo code listed on our website, roundaboutshow.com, and you will save some huge, huge
coin.
Cash.
Oh, I call it coin.
Clams, moolah, dinero.
Yuan.
Dough.
Yuan.
Yuan.
Enough dough, you could bake a few loaves of bread. Anyway, very exclusive offer for Roundabout listeners. You spend $30 with advance, you can take $10 right off that order. If you hit 50, yes, Christian, you hit 50, $20 right off the top.
What?
I know, it's hard to believe. If you pass the century mark, if you spend $100 with advance, you will save $30.
That's like 35%.
I believe it is.
35.
Pretty close. Anyway, so yeah, again, that is 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or 30 off 100. And it's very important, again, to get those savings, you first have to go to roundaboutshow.com and follow the ad on the right-hand sidebar of the page.
But wait, I'm sorry, Greg, what was that web address again?
It was roundaboutshow.com, and the little advertisement you had to follow was on the right-hand sidebar of the page, your right, my right. You click on that, takes you to their online storefront, you do your shopping, and they've got anything, parts. Chris, you've got a 330i, they've got parts for it. Or C, I, whatever it is.
For my car?
They've got parts for your car. German thoroughbred. Got parts for it. You need an alternator. You need wheel bearing. You need brake pads. Advance is ready in. Ben?
Ready in advance. Unlike this sound drop.
Which he just made up on the fly. So, yes. Again, 10 off 30, 20 off 50, 30 off 100. And if you spend $75 with advance, you get free shipping. They'll deliver.
Yes.
Yes, I know. They will deliver these parts right to your door, absolutely free of charge. It's something I've taken great advantage of, and many of our listeners have as well, and it is a great way to save
money.
Deep
discounts and free shipping?
Yeah, I know. And when you're driving a German thoroughbred, you spend a lot on parts.
I'll tell you what. I mean, this could save me a lot of money.
It could, and it will. So take advantage of it. And we thank Advance Auto Parts for their support.
Tell you what.
Tell you what.
I don't know what Hank
Hill said. Playing those damn video games.
Brad can... No, Rich does a good Hank Hill.
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, that's real good, Mr. Stewart. Anyway, thank you, Advance, for your support, and we will keep you in our hearts and prayers. I don't know how that makes sense.
I guess
but
that was a moment of
America.
Silence?
Yeah. For all the money we saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Keep you in our wallets.
Wonder if that lady can get a new compass parts for her Jeep.
Absolutely.
I bet she could.
As long as there's not a core on that bumper cover, core charge, she'll be all set. But anyway, it is time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week, we're talking about long-term relationships. Yes, people that keep their cars for a very long time.
That's commitment.
I know it. You know,
I do that.
It used to be years ago, you'd hit 100,000 miles, and that was it. Your car was pretty much done. The cost to keep it going, repairs, even if you used advance, would be much too expensive to justify keeping to drive that car. But today, modern vehicles are so well-built, so well-engineered, that 200,000 is not a problem. 300,000, 400,000, a million miles some people have on their cars without engine rebuilds, for instance, not an issue. And it's an overall trend. You know, the average age of cars on the roads in the U.S. today, more than 11 years, the highest it's ever been. You can thank the Grand Recession for that, I think. So we tagged this article from the New York Times talking about this issue. I thought it was interesting. You know, how long are you planning on keeping your cars, guys? Do you have a car or have you had one that has an extremely high mileage?
My car has more miles than my truck, and my truck is 20 years old.
Well, what are the mileages?
Well, the 91 S10 has 86,000 on it, and my 04 CTS has 87, Ooh. Going on 88.
88,000 miles an hour. Sorry.
Not quite.
That didn't make sense.
It's all right. They can't all land.
That just dropped with a thud.
Wow.
Or a kerplunk.
You dropped your newborn
splash.
On the...
splash.
Anyway, what about you, Christian? Is the Beamer your first car? Bimmer, sorry.
No, it's not. It's my third car, and I've actually never owned a car with less than 170,000 miles on it.
Whoa.
You are a committed man.
My first car, I got with 180,000. It was a 1985 Volvo 240 DL wagon.
85.
Yes.
Did you pay like $12 for it?
No, I paid a little bit more than that. But
14.
It was a solid vehicle. It got abused, but it ran a lot longer than it rightfully ought to have.
Yeah.
It died with about 240,000 miles on it. And then my first BMW was a 92 325 IS that I bought with 172,000 miles on it. And it got totaled after it had just ticked over the 200,000 mile mark. And my current vehicle I bought with about 170,000 miles on it. And it just rolled over 209,000 miles the other day.
So the first Beamer that you trashed, that was your first DUI, wasn't it? That's why it got totaled.
Yeah. It was all the marijuana I was smoking for the first.
Puff, puff, bass.
Exactly.
Oh, that's wow.
No, and it ran fine. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. It just happened to get in an accident. And,
what was the mileage when it got smashed?
It had hit like 202,000 miles, I think.
That's up there, 200K. That's
yeah. Well, I mean, my current car is almost at 210,000.
How does it have any symptoms, failures, or what?
I mean, you know, it has maintenance here and there that needs to be done, like any car that's of a higher age. But nothing that makes me at all nervous to drive it or concerned that it might be looking at its demise.
No rear subframe rip out yet. That's good. That's great news. What year is your 330 CI?
2001.
Okay. And Joel, have you had any cars that are higher mileage than the ones you've got right now?
No, the Cadillac is the longest I've ever had a car.
Okay.
Besides a truck.
And it's 88 S10. Jeez.
91.
91. S10. 87 S10. Wow.
And what's your Cadillac?
04.
And 04 what?
CTS.
Ben, okay. Were you listening when he said it was a 94? So. Well, my focus.
94 CTS, huh?
Yeah. My focus is the oldest car I've had. It just turned 10 years old this month, in fact. It's an 02. And had it for, it's got almost 157,000 on the clock. So
look at that.
Nice.
Yeah, catching up to you, Christian, sort of.
I know. Got I don't know you'll catch me for sure, but you're getting close.
Next time, Gadget. Count over next time. Yeah. So what about the chat room? What have you guys had? I know you've put, looks like Scott in Cleveland had a 1994 Ford Probe GL, 240,000 on it.
Wow. Yeah, the highest one I'm seeing so far is Luigi B. His brother has 160K on his 08 Altima.
Zero issues.
Wait a minute. He put up on 160K in 4 years?
That's absurd.
Is he just driving cross-country back and forth in laps all year?
That's about the only way that makes sense to get that many miles, unless it's kilometers or something lame like that. Large mentally disabled, 11 years, 152K on his Grand Marquis. 24 years. He's in a Mustang for 24 years, two dozen years, and he has 92,000 on it.
Wait a minute. Scott in Cleveland, he had a car for 240,000 miles.
Yeah.
1994 Probe GL.
Wow. Probes can run, I guess. Yeah, I'm getting ready for a timing belt replacement on mine. It's almost...
How many transmissions did that 1990 Ford go through?
Probably many.
But like six?
That's a half baker's dozen. So, yeah. Looks like modern cars are lasting longer. Ben, what about you? You've had quite a stable of vehicles in your lifetime.
The one that had the most miles was the Chevy S10. It was above 100,000. I think like over 150,000. I don't know. I can't even remember.
But you traded that little sweetheart in for a beauty, an Oldsmobile.
Yeah. Oh, Oldsmobile 98. That's as good as they get,
you'd
folks.
You put that seat back. Lower that wheel down.
Mm-hmm.
Velour seats.
Nice wide doors so I could get out in my wheelchair. It was good.
Did you get like the Dr. Leonard's medical catalog? They sell this little like Lazy Susan that goes on the seat so you can help you turn and get out. Did you have one of those?
The old Oldsmobiles actually had swivel seats in them.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, the old Dodges did.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. And I had that. The best feature was the power trunk.
The power
trunk. So you would close it. It's not like it closed itself. But you'd bring it to a point where it, you know, came
you'd
in contact
it to the brink, and then it
came
would
in contact with the latch, and then you would just walk away, and it would motor down. Wow, 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 wow.
So did the 82 Camaro. So you're in good company.
Wow.
Hot.
Didn't James May make a whole big stink about that feature?
Well, it's kind of useless. If you're closing it all the way, why does it...
But you couldn't even do that in the Oldsmobile. You could not slam it closed.
It wouldn't let you.
No. You would just go, and it would bounce back if you tried to slam it closed.
Oh, you had to allow it to engage.
You had to gently close it, and then it would take care of the rest.
The latch finger had to engage.
I remember when I was 15, I worked at a grocery store, and I used to take groceries out for the old ladies. Don't slam my trunk!
You'll break it!
It'll do the rest. As in, like... You drive for 100 miles and your buddy's like, hey, let me drive, you know, from here to across the street. That's about what the rest it's doing is.
Yep. So that is our blind spot story of the week. If you have any high mileage stories, plunk them in the chat room. Plunk them in the comment section of this post on roundaboutshow.com. We would love to hear your roadway stories. But next up, Ben, I believe we are well overdue for a misty-eyed look at things from the past.
Oh. When I go a motoring in my old jalopy, I think
sting.
Of all our picnics, those Joes show us
sloppy. But more than anything, I can't forget you. Here's another edition of Roundabout Review, and many more.
Ben's got the neck vibrato. He's doing... All right. So, Baja Busta.
Yes, sir.
Joel Ratz. You have a farm, as it were, of fresh, ripe videos, and you've hand-selected just a private reserve of them to promo here on Roundabout, to share with the class. We appreciate that ever so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
What have you got for us this week?
Well, I've got a couple, if not three, videos that some of you may have seen before. One is a 1987 Dodge Daytona promotional video.
Oh, this is 80s-tastic.
Have you seen it?
I'm watching it right now, and
yeah,
it's Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
It's an 80s catastrophe.
Oh, man,
worlds
this is
of
just
excitement.
It's like Top Gun or Top Gun, whatever.
They do these great double takes. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
It's like a
glasses up, lifting
movie.
His glasses.
And it keeps throughout the whole thing. If the Danger Zone music wasn't enough, you get this like sign throughout Danger Zone. Just a reminder.
Like smash cut seizure inducing mess.
Look at his yellow socks. That's disturbing.
Danger Zone.
Yeah, so what are some of the highlights on this video, Joel?
You're looking at it.
The whole thing is a gem.
If you're not tickled by this, Ben, I don't know.
Fuel injected.
That's
what's
back
funny
when
though. They actually
point.
Touted the one of the base models as the Pacifica.
Yes,
I didn't know that, and they put it up against better cars.
So, what was the Dodge Daytona? I know next to nothing about this other than it was front wheel drive. Was it a total turd or what?
Are we suddenly supposed to expect that this is a Starsky and Hutch car? Oh, front-wheel drive.
From the Z. Yeah, it's a K-car-based car like everything was from Chrysler in the 80s.
And just a total crap box, huh?
Oh, man, look at this thing.
Look at that handling. That is a gas-charged struts, you know? That is a dampened suspension.
The editing here that they have going on.
Oh, yeah, the cut and the...
Yeah.
It's scooch.
I'm not even seizure-prone, and I'm about to have one. Why? Oh, off-roading.
Off in the sand.
So if our audio listeners want to check out this awesome video, and they really should, where can they find it? Where's it going to be posted conveniently next week for them to easily track down and watch at their leisure?
Well, it's currently posted up at testdrivejunkie.com.
Never heard of it.
It's new.
It's new.
If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
But suddenly we're watching Friday the 13th all of a sudden in this video.
danger zone.
That girl's a hottie, whoa. Christian. God, but don't
badmouth
her.
She goes into this house now, like...
yeah, following the guy in the trench coat. The,
I don't know, what's in here?
This is the weirdest video ever.
That's the serial rapist she's going to...
Suddenly we're in Key West. Look at that.
Yeah. Where but, in the world is...
Yeah, so this is posted currently testdrivejunkie.com, but we will also link to this on our website, roundaboutshow.com, so you can easily find it there as well. But Joel, you've got a couple other videos as well that you've dug up from your archives.
Right, right. Well, one I recently posted is Tim Allen touting a 1990s celebrity station wagon Eurosport.
Ooh. Don't mind if I do.
That's a fun one.
Whoa. What's a wagon for? A lot more than most people think.
Is that Tim Allen's voice?
Sound like Tim Allen.
Good. It's amazing what you can do.
Can't hear Baja
Busta. Some red stripes here, a little blackout treatment there, and a little vroom under the hood, like 3.1 liters of multi-port muscle. What's a wagon for? A wagon's for going places.
Wagon's for carrying dead hookers. What he should be saying, and I'll tell you what.
At some point in this video, does he go, or whatever it was he used to do?
More power!
More power! No, sorry. Not going to get it.
Al Borland.
So.
That's right, Ben.
So basically,
celebrity Eurosport station wagon. Or an Avant if you're in Europe.
Yeah. Funny, I learned to drive in one.
You drove one of those, huh?
That's my mom had the two-door version.
Ooh.
Two-tone brown, mind you.
So brown and browner, then.
Yeah, exactly. Brown and more brown.
God, cars are so ugly back then. Why?
Yeah, but if it's a ooh celebrity wagon, it's going to move those...
Oh, look at the kids! Oh, the dog coming out of the back. Oh.
Got wood.
Groceries, tackle box, firewood, pets, boats. Look at everything fits back there. This is crazy golf club bricks.
So many kids. Where'd all these kids come from?
Warren Jeffs. He was from... Yeah. All of his teenage brides had them.
So, is look that one of the ones? Yeah. Is that a title candidate? Warren Jeffs?
There you go. Write it down, Ben. Yeah. Oh, that's back when Chevy was the heartbeat of America.
That's today's Chevrolet.
Of 25 years ago. Wow, that's good,
man.
That's hilarious.
That's an oldie but a goodie.
All right, and oh, you've got one more to share, I understand. This might be this is the creme brulee, is it?
Perhaps. I mean, this did come off of one of these fine laser discs you see back here. So it is a 1982, not a 5, I put 5 in there. It's a 1982 Cadillac Cimarron dealer promotional video that touts its buffed bumpers, extra buffed bumpers, and other fine attributes that made the Cimarron so much better than the other 4J body cars that were produced at the same
time.
Does
anybody else notice that the opening sequence of this car driving, with the way the reflection on the hood looks like, it looks like every other Cimarron that's still in existence with the paint peeling off?
1982 Cimarron DeVille and Seville.
Peeling paint right off the line.
Yeah, it does, actually. Look at that.
It's a feature, Chris.
I'm saying it looks like every like Section 8 special. It just.
So what were some of the Cadillac, the Cimarron, was that based on the J body, if I remember, the Cavalier architecture? Or am I off base?
Yeah, it was the Cavalier, the before it was the Sunbird, it was known as the J2000?
Something horrible.
Like, the Firenza by Oldsmobile and the Buick Skyhawk. Caca.
Skyhawk.
Caca. Where's Colin Boyd when you need him? God, those were horrible cars.
Oh. She's a beaut, isn't she?
Look, it's got those clean continental lines, you know? There's no muss, no fuss there.
Yeah, there's certainly none of that.
It's just functional luxury.
Let's all just indulge in the audio of this for
let's
a moment.
Hear some. Oh. It comes equipped with
night-piercing tungsten halogen. Night-piercing, Craig.
Holy crap, that's huge.
You might get
legal.
Cut.
Just like that hooker's torso.
No, you pierced it with a knife. Yes. Anyway.
I'm going to turn up the radio.
With tungsten.
AM, FM, stereo cassette. Receive a triple plating
process and an extra buffing.
Similar attention has been given to this high luster exterior paint,
where the depth of its durable beauty is also brought out by... Enjoy it now, because it won't be there long.
The video is
durable,
the
durable for as long as the warranty lasts.
There is no wreath to go with the crest. Why? The eye, did GM forget to put your wreath on there? And delivers the required the wreath on there?
What?
Oh, that. Another Craig show.
No, there was no wreath with the crest. The standard 1.8 liter distressed.
What is he talking about? Anybody know?
He wanted an excuse to
no,
almost
no,
say
on the grill,
you...
there's no wreath with the crest. Look. It's just the crest.
Really?
Oh. This is bullshit.
Maybe that was a pre-production model.
Maybe the crest just fell off. Let's be honest.
That's that durable construction that they're touting.
So, okay, let's play a little role-playing game here. Christian, I want you to pretend you're a car salesman in 1982 at a Cadillac dealer, and you're trying to sell this Cimarron to Mr. Ratz. He's a little skeptical of the car. Start.
Well, Mr. Ratz, this car has fantastic high luster. I'm sorry, I can't even say that.
You got to watch the whole video. That's requirement.
Oh.
That's what they make the salesmen do.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch all the video on the audio show, so I didn't know.
Sure. All right, okay.
What's funny, though, I don't know if you saw the second link I gave you, Ben, that I was chatting with a fella on GM Inside News, and he saw this post that I did of this particular car, and he actually was a new designer for GM in 1982, and he was put on that program. And he shared the sketches he did from 1982. I don't know if you want to show that.
Well,
but,
you know what? Actually,
we can't.
I can't because it's making me log in, and I don't have
I wonder what was going on there.
Ben is done logged out today.
But you know what? If you drag the picture into the Google Doc, it'll actually appear.
Oh.
You can just drag it right from the...
Dragon dumb.
But yeah. So that's where this video came from, is a training video. This is what the dealers watched, in other words.
Correct.
So, it is...
Well, and hey, at least something. You get that very stylish trunk rack.
Ooh. You've got room for your luggage. If there's not enough in the trunk, then you can strap your stuff to the outside of
the trunk.
Car,
like a 30s Depression-era...
migrant
refugee.
Family, yeah.
As one does.
To each that own. So are those photos in there yet? No, they are not.
Maybe I'm having issues here trying to get that photograph.
Well, we can get it after the show, and we'll put it in
sure.
the post then.
Sure.
You've made Ben sad.
That happened.
A lot
but
of things happen.
These three videos are but a minute taste of the vast library you have assembled.
Yes.
Where can people find more?
That is a good statement.
If this snack has turned them on and they want a whole meal, where do they go?
They go to www.testdrivejunkie.com.
Sounds like a plan. Well, thank you for finding those.
www.testdrivestoner.com.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you. Anyway,
yeah,
moving.
It's not giving me the. It says his website's unavailable. You got to check into that.
Yep. Testdrivestoner.com?
Yeah. Doesn't say it's up. You got a problem over there.
Maybe they've exceeded
what?
Their bandwidth. Anyway, moving along, last segment of the week, we've got a tip of the week.
My ramen noodles are done. Excuse me.
So with a side of diabetes.
Did you bring some for everybody, Ben?
You can make your own. Just get some cardboard and salt water, and well, mostly salt.
That sounds about right.
Roundabout right.
Mine have freeze-dried peas and corn, so I got my vegetable course.
It's all in one meal.
As well as brine shrimp, reconstituted.
Oh. Brent, and I got to say, you're way too good at that voice for it to be...
It's legit.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just have to switch to the Truman Capote.
I can't decide whether that's awesome or horrifying.
It's the latter. It is. You just
certainly the latter.
That was what I was leaning towards, but
I just, you know, I can't even finish a cup of soup. It's so much. But anyway,
we've lost Christian. I think
this cup is just too much effort.
Oh my goodness! Anyway, we have.
I know it's Truman Capote, but I keep picturing Droopy Dog.
Ben, can we? It's an effeminate Droopy Dog. Can we get some Droopy?
Droopy Dog is more like this. He rather enjoys ramen noodles, but sometimes you take it out of the microwave too soon and you burn yourself.
All right, here's the next show title candidate. Droopy yes. Capote.
There we go, Droopy Capote. Okay.
Or
Craig.
Sometimes you take it out of the
I think that's quite long.
Not gonna happen. .com.
So what do we have next? We've got a tip of the week that will be useful for our audience.
Traffic what? Sucks.
Yes.
Doesn't it though?
It certainly does, Craig. what can we do about traffic?
Well, contrary to popular belief, traffic actually travels in waves.
What?
Yes, it does. It is a scientific fact, apparently, that, individual cars act like a large water molecule. And as
I like to be different. I like to run away from the herd.
I know you do. That's why you drive on the shoulder, a.k.a. the passing lane. Anyway.
Yes.
Cars
puff,
travel
puff,
like
pass.
What's that, Christian?
I said puff, puff, pass.
Yes.
Mm. So cars travel like waves. You know, you'll get kind of like a rubber band effect almost. Cars in front of you will accelerate. There's a delay. Then you'll catch up, and then everything will stop again. Very frustrating. Stop and go. Stop and go. Have you ever driven in traffic, Joel?
Twice.
In your 30s. In your 35 years of motoring, or however old you are, have you ever experienced traffic? Other people?
Well, when I used to work, I used to carpool. So, yes, I experienced high levels of traffic on a regular basis. That's twice a day.
Wow.
So, Craig, what is a traffic wave?
I just did the gesture with my arm, Ben.
That is really effective on audio, as Christian, I'm sure, was about to point out.
Redo it into the mic.
Mm-hmm. What are you... Is there a hurricane there all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's more like a traffic hurricane.
Are you reporting from a monsoon? What's happening?
It's Morse code.
Help me. So traffic travels in a wave.
And so I've heard.
There's an Ben, if you'd let me finish. Can I finish?
Please do.
All right. Traffic travels in a wave. So an article here coming to us from drivesteady.com, after having marijuana, apparently, to stop your tremors. Yeah. Drivesteady.com. They're advocating you have to, as a motorist, you have to resist the temptation. When that road starts to open up in front of you, you have to hang back a little bit, is what they're telling you. I know that goes contrary to what everyone is feeling. You see that gap, you want to hit that accelerator and drive to the horizon.
You're darn tootin'.
I know. I'd be shooting my guns in the air if I had them here. But
yeehaw!
Pachoo, pachoo!
You got to resist the urge to go. Because that is what screws up the system. You need
like
that space. What's that?
It's like an accordion. You know, people, like an accordion, the traffic, the effect that you cause by speeding up, it affects people miles down the road.
It
Please,
does.
God, tell me we have a sound effect to go with that.
Buzz that shit. Yeah.
That'll work.
Good call, Ben.
Insert first thing Ben can hit here. But... Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know.
Oh, Father. You'll fix it in post.
So anyway, you have to resist the urge to accelerate and close that gap because you need that buffer room to stabilize the flow of traffic and prevent further backups for people behind you. Because, you know, sometimes traffic will just randomly slow down or even stop for no reason. You know, there's not an accident. There's not a lane that ends or something. It'll just stop. And it's like, what the hell is
going
on?
It's kind of like roundabout.
Yes, exactly. We have the roundabout wave. So
when Craig's ramen is done, he just gets up from the microphone and doesn't talk.
Just
for
ignores.
Five minutes.
Yeah,
we say
imbibing.
Worthwhile things in fits and spurts.
So what they're advocating again: resist the urge to accelerate and race, and also let people in. Be kind to your fellow motorists, and you'll get some karma. So, words of wisdom from the open road.
That's your tip of the week.
Can we have the ding again, Ben?
Sure.
Thank you. So
more ramen.
There we go. We hope you heed our advice.
And
I
with
know,
that.
I know I sure will. And with that, we have reached the denouement of today's program. And we do thank all of you out there in the chat room for listening, but we've got to thank our participants, starting with Christian Conover.
Right here.
What are you doing? What are you feeling, girl?
What?
And
sound drop.
He's confused.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. What's going on?
We're doing the plugs.
Oh, I thought there was something else that was happening.
No, we skipped it.
Well, you know.
Time flies when you're...
Totally broke the backroom editing fourth wall thing, but oh well. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Roundel Table, which is the primary thing that we work on, is currently in the off season. As Craig said, like Mad Men. We're just
it's in workshop
break.
Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. We're
they're roundaboutifying it.
Yeah, something like that. And so we're reworking it and gonna hopefully we don't know exactly when it's coming back yet, but it will be soon. And at the very least the announcement of when it will be coming back will be soon.
But can you at least tell us when it's coming back?
Soon.
Ooh. Soon.
Yes, that word.
Meaning not
yeah,
later.
So we'll be bringing that back soon. And like I said, different format. Going to try to shake it up a little bit and make it more
shake
exciting.
It
and
like a Polaroid
thing,
picture.
Different things going on from week to week. And so, wheelspin.tv if you're curious.
Okay. Well, we do appreciate your help, Christian, coming on the program, putting up with our insanity.
Always good to be here, good buddy.
Thank you kindly. Now I got room on the front seat for my 30-pack of Nail-Lite. Anyway, Joel Ratz, formerly Baja Busta.
Like I said, fits and spurts.
Yeah. We're so schizophrenic.
Get the weed out. Might be able to take care of that. Oh, that's glaucoma. Never mind.
And anorexia. Joel Ratz.
That is I, yes.
You've made it through the program.
Yeah, great time.
I hope
I enjoy watching. I enjoy participating.
Well, good. We're glad you could make it and share your wealth of video products.
He's just glad he survived. Who's he kidding?
He's made it through the gauntlet. He really
has. Now, how the hell can he get out of here as quickly as possible is his next thought, I think.
He can get out of here by telling us his website and plugging it.
Oh, well, again, it's testdrivejunkie.com or also follow me on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Test Drive Junkie or Baja Busta. I still have that page open.
I'm thinking this show has maybe given us a good lesson that you might want to go out and buy the other ones like Test Drive Vagrant, Test Drive Hobo.
Hobo, yeah.
Well, Mud Monster got Hobo already.
Hasn't gotten to it yet.
Because that could cause a lot of confusion. You don't want to lose potential traffic to the other unemployed monikers.
But Joel, we thank you for being a fan. We thank you for coming on the show, and we wish you the best
thank
of luck
you.
With the Test Drive Junkie and the formerly Baja Bus and all those videos you've got. We hope you didn't lose any, you know, when they pulled your stuff down. But
no, I have everything.
Oh, good.
I have everything. Thank you.
That should be in the Library of Congress, if you ask me.
Sure. But apparently not noble. YouTube.
Mm-hmm. In the Smithsonian. Anyway, Benjamin Sanders, the technical end of things is your milieu.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And, Joel Fetter, what do you know?
From Accelerate Portland now. He had to change the website. So he's no longer in Minneapolis. It is a shame.
Can he abbreviate it in a crazy way like he did with his other one?
Nipples?
Yes.
No.
Portland.
Portland. Portlandia. Anyway, Ben, thank you for your help doing this stuff over here.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Anyway, and I believe that is a show.
I thought Truman Capote is running the board.
He steps out.
That's right. I'm the director, Ben's a TD. So.
TD?
Ben's an STD.
Technical director, Craig. I think you'd know that since you're in broadcasting, but I never get anything over on you.
That's the first time Christian's ever laughed.
What are you talking about?
Christian's frozen, I think.
Nope, certainly isn't.
Oh, there you go. He just doesn't move very much.
Take this side,
Jesus. To follow me around every time I move, so I tend to refrain from doing that.
Oh, okay. Well,
like my grand aunt Hilda, she was constrained to a bed for the greater part of 4 years before she eventually passed. It was all very sad.
Were you melancholy?
I think Cody needs to be a regular on this show.
I think he already is. But the great thing, we have to bring it back to cars. So I inherited her Oldsmobile with the swivel seat and the motorized trunk that used to go wow, 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 wow when it would go down.
Like a Camaro, right?
Just like the Camaro. But the Camaro just, I don't know.
What was the noise that it made?
It went to wow, 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 wow. So... there we go.
My face hurts, Ben. Thanks.
Yep. Oh. Close this B out.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, thank you, Truman.
So welcome.
That's enough out of you. Remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at about 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3:30 on the West Coast. And you can do the math for the other time zones, particularly if you're in the Philippines. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and of course, Autoline Daily.
Right, and Autoline Next Week,
that's
just
right.
To round it out.
Autoline, yes. We are on the social networks. If you want to get involved, please do. Twitter.com/roundaboutshow. You can get our latest tweets there. Plus Facebook.com/roundaboutshow for all kinds of updates and fan interactions. We love to hear what you have to say, like the prolific Zachary Levine. Posting many a post up onto the posts on the wall of the post or page. Mm-hmm. Please subscribe. We are on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. And if you use iTunes, we encourage you to write a brief review. Give us a star rating and give us a sentence or two if you feel like it about what you think about the show. We do appreciate that, and that'll help push us higher into the... make us more visible.
Higher and higher, higher.
Anyway, thanks.
Tremors.
You know,
thanks,
my love.
Thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we, we avoid Truman Capote. We'll talk to you then. Let's hear a song. What's a good ditty for Truman to sing?
When I go motoring in my old jalopy. Was it? It's such a good car. I think of all our picnics. Those Joes sure were snappy. And you know what I mean by snappy. More than anything, I can't forget you. Here's another edition of Roundabout Review.
Oh my God.
Oh, Lord.